Let the madness begin. And I'm not talking about basketball. It's the Shelly Winter Show.
My friend, my brother, my family, a man who has believed in me when I didn't even believe in myself in many cases, my brother Killer Mike is on with us. How are you, sir?
What's up? I'm very proud of you. Congratulations. I hadn't had an opportunity to tell you congratulations to be back on the airwaves, and I hope your audience grows and grows to a nationally syndicated show, and you get just rich beyond belief.
Man, I appreciate that coming from you, and you have always told me this is where I belong, so I appreciate those words. And I appreciate that. You just interviewed with Coleon Noir, NRA TV, getting some flack. Yeah. Tell us what's going on there.
Nothing. He's someone I consider a friend and associate. We interviewed about a week ago around black gun ownership in the United States of America in these times. And talking about black gun ownership.
So the interview, Mike, I'm sorry to cut you off, was about black gun ownership.
Yeah, absolutely. Gotcha. If you watch it, you'll see that. Yeah,
right.
I wasn't the only black person. I interviewed for about 6 or 7 minutes. There was a black man and black woman that both interviewed. Black woman who's a business owner in a depressed community where she said, I don't want to have to carry guns, but I got to protect myself and, protect potential risk, my goings ins and coming out. It's just a very practical reason, very matter-of-factly, like this is why I have to do it. I didn't look at it as any particular slant. I just thought it was telling the truth as black people saw it. Someone at NRTV got cute and dropped part of some of the things I was saying in reference to the gun ownership on the same day as the march. But I didn't even know which was happening, the March for Our Lives march.
Right.
It just got convoluted, and somehow I went from being a guest on a show with a black guest, with a black host talking about black people, to, the national face that was supposedly opposed to this march, which I'm not. If young people want to organize in this country, I was a youth organizer, they should organize around whatever issues they see fit or feel. Doesn't make any difference either way. It was a quote going around that people kind of got stirred up around the black side, where I told my child, if you leave school, leave my house. Well, that's because my child's failing math.
Right.
And I'm sorry, brother. You as long as you're failing math, you don't get to conveniently go out. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we had to have a talk because he's still cutting. I was about to cut something on his tail. But, if my child is passionate about something like I was in high school, of course I respect that. But with that said, I'm not going to put an uneducated black boy into the world.
Right.
That's a fate worse than death, because prison or death follows soon behind that. So for me, as a parent, I can't make an apology as a parent for telling my child, hey, you got to do right in school.
But
beyond that, I apologize that for whatever reason, my good-intended interview on the behalf of what I thought was my community got smushed on top of a national thing that I was not commenting on.
But Mike, let me ask you this. I mean, I don't understand how we live in a world where a man who actually takes care of his children, whose family situation is one of one big happy family, everybody gets along, and none of your parents, none of your children have any issues with you and knowing you and being around you and having any, being taken care of by you. How does it, you telling your kid what you want him to do or not to do, become other people's business for criticism?
Well, I'm a celebrity. You accept that when it comes with it. And I gave an interview on a nationally seen thing.
Fair enough.
So I can accept that. Yeah, I can accept the fact you criticize. That don't mean I accept your criticism.
Right.
Again, because ain't nobody responsible for this boy but me.
Right.
you know what I mean? So however you feel about it, I'm sorry you're going to have to feel about it. But just like my grandmother, when she took leather to my tail, she didn't care that my teacher said that was child abuse.
Right.
She cared that the police, like she told me when she spanked me, I'm doing this so the police will never have to. I've never been arrested.
Right. Mike, let me ask you this. So in this interview, you said there were parts left out. One of the other things that people criticize is they seem to tie the NRA in with the Second Amendment. So what they say is, we have a right to Second Amendment rights, but I hate the NRA. Can you bridge that gap for many people?
It depends on which side of you're looking at it. If you're a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant person who's pro-NRA, or if you're a black person that's pro-NRA, the NRA is the largest, most powerful lobby group that protects your Second Amendment rights. That's your right to have firearms as a private citizen in this country. If you're a person that, for whatever reason, does not agree with them philosophically, or you have not had some likings to things they have done or not done in the past, then you see them as a politician lobby buying group that's against the interests of poor black communities because they supposedly make you the bad guy. For me, it's just a matter of encouraging black people to be self-sufficient. You know, really, Shelley, I don't just encourage black people and all Americans, you know, but in particular, I think that this country is a better country when the black community is doing well.
Absolutely.
I think when the black community is being made handicapped or made a pariah, I think that the country is worse off and our community is worse off. So if you hear me, I don't just go around saying, hey, get guns because whitey's going to come kill you one day.
Right,
no.
Right.
I say you should hunt, you should fish, you should farm, you should get outside. You should be able to protect yourself and your home. You should be able to resist tyranny if that should happen. And for people thinking, oh, tyranny could never happen, black people are only 54 years into freedom.
Right.
Like, seriously, we are 54 years out of apartheid with Jim Crowism. So for me, you know, I don't think any other group of people should cling closer to the Second Amendment than black people. And if you don't want to associate with NRA, that's fine. There are groups like NAGA, the National African American Gun Association. There's a Socialist Rights Association. There are many other organizations to join. I'm just simply saying all Americans take advantage of your rights to own weapons because very few other countries have that in terms of the proletariat being able to be armed. And in particular, since I'm out of the African American community, African Americans who are only 54 years into freedom, you might want to hunt and train and shoot actively.
Absolutely. And you can't, as I said earlier, Mike, and I love you for coming on. I know it's early, but I want to thank you again. But as I said earlier, you can't tell me that Trump is Hitler. You can't tell me that racism is on the rise. And then on the third day,
yeah,
tell me to take my guns from me. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't tell me Trump is Hitler on Monday and tell me to give up my guns Tuesday. That the word Hitler brings a fear and panic unlike many other words that you can say to a person that's the minority in the country.
Absolutely.
So just recognize the language that you're using when you describe, when you say that his cabinet are like Nazis and all right, you're not going to make black men want to give up their gun.
Absolutely. I love you, brother. Stay strong.
Love you, bro.
I love
okay.
you, too.
Yeah.
My brother, Killer Mike.